You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 14th of January, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. I hope you are feeling better after yesterday. You were telling me you were rather ill. You're so ill, in fact, you were unable to record your podcast, so I'm very pleased that you're with us today. How are you doing today, anyway?
I am much better. I want to apologize to my listeners for skipping. I only very rarely skip it. But what happened to me came on very quickly and left very quickly. I was very ill for a while. But I'm pretty much now at 100%. So not sure what it was. But it unfortunately came at the worst possible time. I usually do these things on late Tuesday night. And that's pretty much exactly when this happened. I was completely exhausted. And boy, it would have been a very depressing lecture if I actually did it.
Well, it's okay. We had an episode of Greatest Britons on Florence Nightingale, which we actually put on there in place of your show. So at least we had some new content which we could get up there for listeners. And as I say, I'm very pleased you're here today. And instead of looking around the world at news stories that are happening in the third world and elsewhere, we're going to be looking at America today, because America is the center point of all the news at the moment with the attempted occupying of the Capitol last week. And we have to thank Dr. Patrick Slattery for popularizing that phrase. But that is what was going on last week. Protesters tried to occupy the Capitol. They were met by violent resistance from the police. After the police effectively let them into the Capitol, they then started shooting on these unarmed protesters. And this has all been portrayed as a violent insurrection, so much of an insurrection that the Democrats are going to impeach President Trump again. This is the second time that there has been an impeachment. And just before we get into some of these quotes here, and I pass this back over to you, Matt, I think the very fact that they are accusing these protesters of insurrection indicts the people doing that as being the ones guilty of insurrection. And the reason why I say that is that insurrection is a rebellion against an established government. And the protesters there last week were protesting in aid of the established government. All they were asking for is a forensic audit of the vote, because they support the established government. Now, by Biden's lot and the Democrats saying that that was an insurrection, what they're actually saying is that the established government is not what you think it is. The established government is not President Trump's government. The established government is Joe Biden. And whether or not Joe Biden is going to be the president in a couple of weeks' time is irrelevant. He is not the president now. He was not the president last week. The Democrats were not the government in power last week. And by saying that they are going to impeach President Trump for insurrection, they are guilty of insurrection themselves in saying this. They are indicting themselves that they think that the legitimate government, the established government, is something other than President Trump and his government. I'm just amazed that nobody else has pointed that out. Matt, what are your thoughts on my little theory here about their guilt?
Well, it's you know, technically true. Impeachments are always pretty much ridiculous political acts. None of these ever amount to high crimes, treason, anything like that. The serious war crimes of the American government, military, etc., are never going to be grounds for impeachment. There's a whole lot of reasons for this, but ultimately it's about attempting to destroy the political will of anyone who opposes this regime. the regime that, as you just said, Pelosi and crew actually believe is the established government. They're right, of course. It's just not a legally established government. Is this to intimidate people? We already know that just a mere attendance at that rally has had people losing their jobs. And the reaction of the Republicans, of course, is to be expected. They live in fear. They'll deliberately lose votes and maybe even lose elections rather than support Trump in this matter. This is about, you know, one party, one ideology consolidation. And despite, you know, I don't believe this is anything but a legitimate outpouring of contempt for an illegitimate election process. This is a gift for the regime in the sense that now Joe Biden can take office saying, yes, now I have a mandate from both parties to fight this insurrection, which at any moment now is going to create this massive infantry assault on our capital, which they are now calling our democracy. Remember, democracy only means liberalism. That's what the term means when they use it. So, you know, these people have, for the last 4 years, have done nothing but attempt to remove Trump from office. Of all the stupid impeachment claims from Johnson to now, the ones against Trump really have been the stupidest because they're based on completely invented media-created scandals. So the whole thing is a mockery.
That's particularly vindictive as well. That, I think that's how it appears to people, is that the Democrats are just being vindictive here. When you think about 50% of the Republican supporters support the action last week, and if you say, well, half the country supports the Republican Party, that's a quarter of the country that support the protest last week. And you now have the alleged incoming president, who keeps talking about unity, engaged in this petty vindictive act of trying to impeach the president again for a second time, as you say, over something that is entirely media created. Now, I have some quotes here. There have been quite a few senators, well, not senators, but members of the Democratic Party that have been lining up to attack Trump, and members of the Republican Party. And what I have here is a statement from Liz Cheney. She said, talking about her decision to back impeachment, on January the 6th, 2021, a violent mob attacked the United States Capitol to obstruct the process of our democracy and stop the counting of presidential electoral votes. This insurrection caused injury, death, and destruction in the most sacred space in our republic. Now, I would argue that they were not trying to obstruct the process of democracy. They were trying to obstruct the destruction of democracy, the defrauding of democracy. They went in there, and this comes out of the very mouths of the protesters. They went in there hoping to find somebody that they could say to, we believe that there has been election fraud. Why won't you investigate it? Why will you not investigate the allegations of election fraud so that we know that this is a true and fair democratic election and that Biden has won legitimately? Why will you not investigate this? That's what they went in for, because people have been making so much noise about this. The president himself has been trying to highlight all the evidence that shows that the election was stolen. And the response to that has been to silence the president, remove everybody on YouTube that discusses it, remove everybody on Twitter and Facebook that bring up this evidence. And that is obviously wholescale censorship, when all the other opposing side would have to do is to say, OK, we have heard your allegations of fraud. We will now investigate it. Because if all that was all they would have to do, all they have to do is show that Biden has won legitimately, and the other half of America, the Republicans, will stand down. It was not an insurrection. And the injury, the death and the destruction was caused by the police, wasn't it? It was the police that shot Ashley Babbitt and killed Ashley Babbitt. These were unarmed protesters. As I pointed out last week, there wasn't one bit of graffiti that was put up. There wasn't one fire that was lit. There was some stationery that was thrown around. There were two windows that were broken, and one of the guys that was breaking the window was obviously an agent provocateur. All the people around him were chanting Antifa at him, and one of the Trump supporters pulled him down. There's recordings of people saying, don't steal anything, don't damage anything, we don't want to damage anything. It was just seen by the protesters as exactly the same as the Occupy movement, like the sit-ins that they had in the 60s. It was a legitimate form of peaceful direct action, and the police themselves practically let the protesters in. They really didn't put up much of a fight to stop them from going in there. And this is supposed to be the people's house. It used to be that people could go in there and they could actually view this going on. They weren't going there to stop the counting of presidential electoral votes. They were going there to say, why won't somebody investigate the allegations of fraud? It is so obvious this fraud took place. Donald Trump had 88 million followers on Twitter. Joe Biden had 20 million. And you know that the 20 million that Joe Biden had, a lot of them will have been added by Twitter itself. And Donald Trump would probably have about 100 million if it hadn't been for all the Twitter followers he had that have been removed from Twitter. So just on Twitter, we can see that Donald Trump is four times as popular as Biden. And yet we're being told that Joe Biden is the most popular man in the history of the world. And he got all these votes and he beat Donald Trump. Just that fact alone says that this election needed to be investigated. And that is all that it would take to solve all these problems. Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the quote from Liz Cheney just shows you what an insipid, vapid fraud she is. This is a classic example of language being used to conceal information rather than reveal it. She's making the claim that this mob was there to obstruct democracy, which, of course, the way that they define that term is probably true. It means the forceful imposition of liberalism to stop the counting of electoral votes. Well, since those are all very obviously obtained through fraud, that's a perfectly legitimate thing to do. Causing injury and death was absolutely minimal. The death was caused by the police. And for her to call that the most sacred space, using mystifying language for the halls of Congress, brings this up to a brand new level of pseudo intellectualism. But then the most outrageous is saying that there's never been a greater betrayal, as if all the wars and all the fraud and all the scams politicians have, or any president has pulled off over the years, this is the greatest. This is classic. I don't know what other word to use except insipid. This is as we speak right now, we know that Republicans, especially in the Senate, are being contacted. They're cutting deals. They're terrified what may happen to them if they, for anything pro-Trump that they've said in the past, any kind of judicial attack on these guys won't follow any established law. They know now that they can do whatever they want. Republicans are terrified, and I'm not sure which they are terrified more of, either their constituents that despise them now, or the regime that can destroy them at any moment. So, in many ways, this fear is, they're getting what they deserve. But the last thing in the world that Trump ever did was incite anybody. I read that whole – I listened to that whole speech. It was pretty moderate under the circumstances. But what she says all comes down to the fact that she's claiming that this election was perfectly free, perfectly fair, and anyone who says otherwise is someone who has to be watched.
Well, Trump was talking about having strength, wasn't he? That seems to be the main point that people are pointing to and saying that incited violence. I mean, he was saying have strength, have faith that we will overcome this and that the law will be enforced. And the protesters are the ones that are supporting democracy, because democracy is supposed to be one citizen, one vote. It's not supposed to be decided by a computer program. It's not supposed to be decided by lots of dead people that come back to life and vote. And when you actually have a democracy, you're supposed to have free speech. You're supposed to actually hear what the opposing sides have to say so that you can make a decision on who you want to support. And the very fact that we have one side in this, the president's side, being completely silenced everywhere, and on the run-up to the election, we had the exposure of Hunter Biden. The whole of the New York Post was banned from Twitter for a week because it was producing information that showed that the Biden administration would be corrupt. So we have all these interferences in our democracy They're the protesters were protesting against. They are the ones that support democracy. This tyranny that is about to come in now, they are the ones that have destroyed democracy. They've destroyed the republic. I've got another quote here from Liz Cheney. She says, "Much more will become clear in coming days and weeks, but what we know now is enough. The President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of this would have happened without the President," the lawmaker added. Well, no, none of this would have happened if they hadn't cheated, if they hadn't carried out a barefaced fraud on the American public with all the things that I pointed out earlier. That's why this happened, and thankfully we have a president that wants to stand up against this, that the platform that he stood on has always been to clear out the swamp, and he's been unable to do that. And now these swamp creatures are all aligned up on the other side, and we have the mainstream media working with them, we have big tech working with them, we now even have the banks that are deplatforming senators, we have Donald Trump just being deplatformed from absolutely everywhere, and we have the left that are cheering this on. Well, if they can do this to the president, that means they can do it to absolutely anyone, and they will be doing it to absolutely anyone. He didn't summon this mob. He's tried to have 60 different court cases showing the evidence of the fraud that took place, and every single one of them was thrown out of court without even being investigated. So what are the people supposed to do? In a democracy, we're supposed to peacefully protest. And that is what the people were doing. That is what the patriots were doing outside the Capitol. They were peacefully protesting. The president gave his speech, and then everybody marched to the Capitol to make their voices heard, to say, look, there are between 1 million and 4 million people out here that are saying this investigation, this election needs to be investigated for fraud. Why won't you do this? That is what you're supposed to do in a democracy, isn't it? You're supposed to protest. And if the people you're protesting against won't listen, you're supposed to get louder and louder and louder until they do. And that is what went on here. There was no attempt to attack anybody in the Capitol. There was no attempt to set fire to it. I mean, it would have been very easy just to burn the place down, which is what Black Lives Matter did. What we have here is a massive, massive case of projection. When you look at what was going on this summer, when we actually did have real riots, real looting, and the whole of the Capitol was set on fire. Every street, it was just on flame if you stood at that Capitol and looked in every direction in the middle of the summer. That was a real riot. That was real insurrection. And the Democrats were telling us that this was peaceful protests. The projection that is here is just absolutely incredible. Matt, what do you think of this accusation that the president summoned and assembled a mob?
Well, I'm really happy that you mentioned the concept of projection, because there are many neurotic defense mechanisms being used by the regime here. Projection allows these people to deal with the negative feelings that they've had over the Floyd riots onto somebody else. But narcissism is equally important. And that was actually going to be the topic of my talk yesterday. And of course, I'll just put it off for until next week, is the similarities between the narcissistic personality and the regime. Nothing's ever their fault. They could do horrible things to you, but if you ever do even the slightest tit-for-tat action, they act like the biggest victims in the world. It's a perfect parallel. There was no assault on the Capitol. There was no insurrection, which under the circumstances is incredible. The videos are very clear. The police allowed the attendees inside. They walked in a straight line. This was a protection of, I mean, you know, I have my own problems with democracy, but in this case, you had a massive Trump victory, which was overturned in the middle of the night. They did it again in Georgia, and they're going to do it again from here on in whenever they need to. But I have to say, one of the more disturbing, and I don't know how many people have mentioned this yet, but one of the more disturbing elements here is a very strange letter from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I'm quoting from it. It says, "The violent riot in Washington, D.C. on January 6th was a direct assault on the U.S. Congress, the Capitol building, and our constitutional processes," which, of course, they know simply isn't true. And that says something to me, that there is going to be a false flag for Inauguration Day. They're already talking about, you know, being terrified of some huge terroristic event. And that would be certainly in Joe Biden's interest, because, again, his whole early part of his presidency will be this: I have this great mandate from our military, from everybody else, to fight terrorism, which is essentially anyone who disagrees with him. Anything that happens to Trump is symbolic of what's going to happen to us. People are going to be arrested and prosecuted for the craziest, most ridiculous of make-believe crimes. God knows what laws are going to be passed, what executive orders are going to be written by other people. And that's the thing about Biden, is that he has no agenda. He has no principles. Even the best of days, he had no principles. The man can't make any speeches, doesn't do any interviews. The guy is a metaphorical basement dweller so far. It's his team that's going to be doing things. The people who surround him are going to be making these policies. So even if Biden legitimately won, it's still an illegitimate government, because he's not actually doing anything. He's the Boris Yeltsin of the U.S. He's the perfect front man. You give him some, you know, Ritalin and stick him in front of a microphone for 30 seconds, and it sounds like he's coherent, knowing full well that policy is being made from people you've never heard of before, people who surround him, and, you know, by unelected people. And that's just the beginning of our problems here.
Yeah, I think with Inauguration Day, they're going to have to think up some kind of an excuse to explain away why there aren't millions of people there for it. They will either have to tell people to stay home, or they'll say, oh, COVID regulations. They will have to come up with some kind of an excuse to explain away why there aren't so many people there. I mean, one comment I would like to say is people should know by now that we will be held to different standards than the left. We understand this as nationalists, but I'm not sure the Trump-supporting crowd do. I mean, they see what Black Lives Matter do, and they think, well, you know, we should be allowed to do this. And they can't do it. You can't do it if you're a nationalist. You will be held to higher standards. Of course, that's wrong, but that's just the way it is. And when you were talking about them filing in there in single file, Matt, and this is another thing that people can point out, they're even walking in within the rope barriers. None of them even breached the rope barriers as they were walking in there, where all the paintings were. If that had been Black Lives Matter or people on the left, they would have destroyed all of those paintings, just like the Hong Kongese did when they broke into the center of their democracy, and they graffitied all the paintings and set fires and stamped on the paintings. None of that was going on in this peaceful protest last week. The deaths that they have talked about, they have been due to health problems, pre-existing health problems. The police officer that died, they are alleging he was hit on the head with a fire extinguisher. They have produced no proof to show that he was hit on the head at all, and he actually died when he was back at his precinct. It may have been completely unrelated. There has been some footage where there has been some scuffles, and the scuffles have been with the police with protesters. The police have tried to attack the protesters, and protesters have fought back. I guess you could say they were resisting arrest. And Trump is correct to say that they are supposed to be on the side of law and order, and we shouldn't be using violence. And this protest should have been completely peaceful. And I would guess that any violence was probably started by these agent provocateurs. And then you would have had inexperienced people there, civic nationalists, who thought, well, we have to fight back. We have to engage in violence. Look, that guy over there is doing it. I think a lot of these people are new to this. They're just starting to wake up to how our administration of government is no longer in the hands of the people, and they didn't really know how to behave themselves. I mean, there was some instances of fighting and what have you. So Trump is right to say that we should not be using violence, and he has come out and he has said this, and he has to say that. He has to hold himself to a higher standard than the left. That's just the way that things are. I have a final quote here from Liz Cheney. She said, "The president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. There has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. I will vote to impeach the president," she concluded. Well, I don't know whether she was actually watching, but President Trump, he did come out and he did say to everybody to go home. He did exactly the right thing that you would have in a possible hostage situation. He spoke kindly to the people that were in there. He tried not to agitate them. He said, "We love you. We understand your problems. This is not the way to deal with it. You need to leave." Only, unfortunately, that was removed straight away from Twitter. So President Trump did immediately and forcefully intervene to stop the violence. He did it in the correct way. And his plea for people to leave the Capitol was censored. It was removed. And instead, the mainstream media played a video of Joe Biden demanding that Trump immediately send out a message calling for the protesters to go home. It's just unbelievable. Again, the mainstream media, that is supporting this fraudulent government that is not actually the government yet, instead of supporting the established government. That is all insurrection. This insurrection has been going on for the last 4 years, and it's now culminating in this kangaroo court impeachment for a second time of the president. And because this insurrection has been going on for 4 years, because it's now escalated to people being deplatformed by banks, and, you know, senators, Republican senators being deplatformed by banks, and everybody being censored from Twitter, you know, I think that this is a legitimate case for the Insurrection Act to be invoked and the people involved to be arrested. You know, they should be arrested. Jack Dorsey should be arrested for interfering in the election. And all these people that have supported Joe Biden, they're basically saying they're swamp creatures. They're prepared to tolerate the destruction of democracy, the stealing of the election, the theft of the election, because they hate Donald Trump that much. That's what it boils down to. They hate Donald Trump that much. It's not any of his policies. It's nothing else. They just hate the man, and they are prepared to go back on every principle that supposedly democracy is built upon in order to get rid of him and put their own man in. And now they're just doing this impeachment, this vindictive impeachment. It's like they are pushing as much as they can and to give as much evidence as they can for the Insurrection Act to be called. And when you have a completely polarized population like that, half the population is on one side, half the population is on the other. The population is all armed as well. There've been queues going out of the gun shops, you know, queues a mile long. There's never been so much ammunition sold as this year. When you're in a situation like that, you know, the only way that you can really put a stop to it is to invoke the Insurrection Act and have the army on the streets to prevent there being all-out war. And again, all they would have to do to have prevented that is to have a forensic audit of the vote. And instead of doing that, they had the FBI rushing in there and shredding the vote, shredding the evidence. You know, I just don't know what they can do, Matt, apart from have this Insurrection Act and lock these guys up. If they don't, I think you're going to have civil war there within the next couple of weeks in America.
I think the numbers that are normally cited, I think, are very skewed. I think that there are plenty of Democrats out there who realize that this election was fishy, at least. That even if you don't believe the election was stolen, if you look at the evidence that's been marshaled so far, you can kind of understand why people would think that. I refuse to believe that there aren't plenty of Democrats out there who are seeing this mass censorship of tens of millions of people and are comfortable with it. You have plenty of, you know, these narcissistic types that don't care. But I know, I guarantee you there's a substantial minority that do. But the other significant thing to bring up is that this is definitely a class war. Working class absolutely is on our side. The mid upper level blue collar people definitely on our side. But of course, they simply don't have the organization or the leadership or the billions of dollars that the regime has. And the regime is based both on some version of liberalism, leftism, and neoconism. Trump's people were always, you know, small business, farmers, construction workers, etc. And the left now has long since abandoned them. Even Marxism doesn't care about them. They care about, you know, race and gender and sexuality. That's what's considered the working class these days. This now gives them, the regime, the perfect excuse to abandon them completely, to kill any pro-labor legislation that comes down. You've seen all the memes that the left puts out, that this is all, you know, yokels and rednecks and blue collar, as if that's a curse word now. The one positive thing, there's many positives, but one of them is that now these people are seeing the Republican Party for what it is, and that they're not their friends. Trump was a Republican strictly out of convenience, not because – and they, you know, the Republicans condemned him from day one. they supported him because he was doing well. And now they're going to jump ship because now they're terrified of what the regime may do to them. And that's a great thing to see exposed for everyone to see. That's really the positive side of all this, is that now this stuff can't be denied by anybody.
Well, they're saying that the point of the impeachment is so that he can't stand again in 2024. Is there any other reasons for this impeachment that you can think of, Matt? And also, do you think the impeachment is going to succeed this time or fail?
Well, this one certainly has a better chance of succeeding than the last one. I'm not going to make any predictions. My tendency is to say that it's going to fail, but not by much, because you do need a supermajority in the Senate. Getting rid of Trump here is a message to all of us. We're doing this to him now. We'll do this to you later. This is an intimidation tactic. This is so they can say, you know, you're supporting a convicted criminal, whatever label they're going to put on this. This is going to be the justification for doing this symbolically or otherwise to his supporters. So the point here is intimidation. And, you know, keep him from doing anything. I mean, part of it is, you know, if he were ever to declare martial law, this would prevent that. If it does succeed, then this is because Republicans were granted, you know, immunity or, you know, money for their district or whatever it is, money for their state, something like that. Some horse trading is going on. If it succeeds, again, even that is going to be based on total fraud.
Well, we've always said that the censorship and the deplatforming and the removal of banking usage, that would continue until it happened to some of these CIVNAT types at the top, some of the conservatives, some of the Republicans. And now it's happened to the president of America and also Republican senators. So maybe we will finally see some pushback. I hope that we do, because otherwise we are headed down a very dark road that can only end in civil war, and we really don't want that. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.